Welcome to another exciting broadcast of Help Relationships 102. I'm your host, Pastor Lewis Green. It is so good to be with you today. I pray that God's grace is with each of you under the sound of my voice, and that He would continuously abound in your weaknesses. Before we get too deeply into today's broadcast, I want to remind everyone to like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102, remembering that there's no exclamation point at the end of Help as it is here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, today concludes the series on racism in America, and the thrust of this particular series was an effort to do our part in helping to heal racism in this nation. And I know that a single voice does not necessarily amount to very much, but perhaps some of you out there will join in with me, and a single voice can become a choir of voices. And I know that, because we all know that, the path that this nation is on can't be leading to a good place. And so we want to continue on talking about this, beginning to open up race relations in America. We want to continue opening up what that means and what that looks like in hopes that we might bring healing. And of late, we have attempted to remove some of the finger pointing because there's enough to go around on all sides, actually. And because, as Jesus once said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And so we all have our strengths, we all have our weaknesses, and we all have in what would be considered stereotypical behavior. And one person believes that they're right and the other was wrong. How can there be a healing? If the other person believes that they're right and the other's wrong, how can there be a healing? I have found more often than not, there's usually enough right and wrong to go on all sides involved. And so our attempt was to level the playing field here on with regard to addressing the stereotypes and even practical ways in dealing with being pulled over by police officers, and that would maybe help avoid some of what's happening on each side. And I do love this country. And I, every now and again, I run into those who have a strong hatred even towards America until such time as they have had opportunity to go visit other countries. And then by virtue of contrast and appreciation and comparison, those very people come back with a renewed love for this country. And so forgive me if in this past week I have said something to you that has been offensive. I promise you, my intent was not to offend. And if I have in fact brought offense, and I have not succeeded in what I set out to accomplish. And so my heartbeat is to for us to recognize how far we've come. And I think that if we can look at how far we've come, it will encourage us to go the next leg up. It will encourage us to take the next steps necessary up the reams of the ladder of racial unity, solidarity, and togetherness. And I know that each of you out there echo that. And understand that if one sits on one side of the fence and he points out the weakness of another ethnicity, another race, another nationality, that he does so at his own expense, at the expense of peace, at the expense of even his own dignity. There's nothing so belittling and unbecoming as a bigot. But at the same time, we want to recognize that each ethnicity, each race, each nationality do have their own set of strengths. I'm remembering in Genesis chapter 49, where Jacob blessed his 12 sons. And if you read through that passage, Jacob had a particular blessing, a special blessing uniquely committed to each of the brothers that would follow them throughout not just their lives, but their lineage. And to one of his sons, he blessed in this fashion, and to another sons, he blessed in that fashion. And when you understand that each of those blessings were to carry on, and not just for their lives, but their children and their children's children and their children's children's children, you begin to understand what becomes the basis of both bloodline blessings and cursing that seem to follow the seed, the spiritual DNA, as it were, that would actually result in appearing to be stereotypical at first glance. And then when you follow that, you begin to understand there's an appreciation that it often, what strengths and weaknesses that a person or a people may be in possession of and may have been imparted to them by virtue of their actions. That's right. And I don't want to go back and draw attention to this. I can actually go throughout Scripture and show this out. But I want to look at it as the state of affairs as they stand now and today. In American culture. I mean, consider this, that America has become the greatest country in the earth. And basically, America was begun by Europeans, by those who actually migrated from England. And yet, we have risen. We're a young country, barely 200 years old. And England, that is thousands of years old, literally, that we've risen head and shoulders above England. And that we have, in fact, become the most powerful nation in the earth. And so it's not just by the color of one's skin that determines some of their strengths, but it's what America built. It's what our founding fathers built. It's what the architects built. And when you look at it from that perspective, you understand that it wasn't at all white America's intent to build a melting pot. It was God's intent. But it's our diversity that has served us. And as a result, he's blessing this nation. This nation was founded on the principles of liberty and on the principles of democracy. And our founding fathers, as the Lord would have it, had their fill of kings. And so they were determined that this nation would not be governed by kings, but democracy to ensure its continued liberty. Liberty, freedom, has been the basis of the founding of this country. Liberty. Liberty. Liberty and justice, or equality. Okay? It was the founding principles that this country was built upon. And this is why that slavery could not endure in an atmosphere like this. We needed time, and we need time to continue growing up into our creed, to continue growing up into our ideal. But this is the reason that slavery could not endure. This is the reason that there was destined to be a civil war, an Emancipation Proclamation, and a civil rights movement, because those principles could not stand against the principles of liberty, of justice, and equality. And I think that the longer this country endures, the more plain it becomes that this nation was not man's idea. Neither were these ideals man's idea, but it was God's. It has become a great melting pot. The founding fathers did not dream of this place becoming a great melting pot. God prepared our founding fathers through being stung with tyranny to reject establishing kings anymore. Because when you establish kings, everything's under one man's control. But because of the tyranny and the oppression of the King of England, those who came from England said, you know something, no more kings, it's going to be a democracy. The country is going to be by the people and for the people, and we're going to govern ourselves. And see, now watch, as a result of not being limited by one man's vision, this country has been governed by democracy, and it's allowed us, just by the principle of liberty, the principle of justice and equality, and the principle of diversity, has actually enabled us to grow beyond even those countries who are thousands of years older than us. And so this whole country was rooted and founded in a diversity that our founding fathers didn't understand. But as it became obvious, you know, they sent the Statue of Liberty from France. And listen to the inscription on the book. It says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Okay? And, you know, and that's who we are. That's who this nation is. And so each of us are trying to find our place in the great melting pot. And we have to understand that as we deal with one another, and as we face each other, and as we work on race relations one with the other, that this nation was not man's idea. But the reason that this nation is so progressive is not because America is so intelligent. It's the basis that this country was built upon that has enabled God to be more sovereign in this country than he can in another land. Who knows what I mean by that? I believe God is ultimately in control of all things and of all countries. But in a democracy, it better enables God to be the most sovereign and have the most control. And I'm not saying it gives him complete control, but it certainly gives him ultimate control. ultimately God's will comes to pass. As such, when you look back at Jacob in Genesis chapter 49 and you see him blessing the nations, I do believe that white America has been blessed with building the kingdom of God, with building this country, because they established it as one nation under God. It was the opening of the door that enabled God to come in and bless this nation. And so I believe, like, in the same way that Jacob's sons had a different blessing, I believe African America is blessed with passion and fight. I mean, think about it. We have fought our way from the manacles of slavery through the civil rights movement, and we've ascended to being citizens, able to vote, able to govern and to rule, and ultimately we now have a black president, and we've come a long way. And so this is partly what the African American community brings to the table. It's our passion, our fight. But I always say, whatever your strengths are, the knife will always cut both ways. Do you know that sometimes your strength can actually be your greatest weakness? Because we fight everyone, even ourselves, okay? But it's not to ignore the fact that there's a gift that we've been given. The Asians, they've been given honor and discipline. We can go on and on from race to race and see what they bring to this great melting pot. And we have to recognize not just our weaknesses, but our strengths, and not to compete with one another in an unhealthy way. I mean, there's a such thing as a healthy competition. But once we understand that this great melting pot, that this nation was God's idea and not man's idea, God prepared those first Americans to come to this land and had them sting with the tyranny of England, that they might set up a democracy allowing God to rule therein. Okay? And so it was never man's idea. Man thought it was, but it was all a part of God's divine order. And God moves through generations. He doesn't move overnight. The longer I live, the more I come to appreciate that God does things through generations. He moves through generations. And through generation after generation, white America has grown. African America has grown. Do you know that the Hispanics are now the number one minority in America? They have grown. And they're having their say, and they're stretching their wings. And this is what God intended. If I'm going to properly build along with God, the Bible says that unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. If I don't understand what God is building in this house, then I will in fact labor in vain in all of my efforts. And so I have to understand this is not about black America. This is not about Hispanic America or white America or Asian America. It's about one nation under God, joined and not divided by our diversities. Joined and not divided by our diversities. And this was the Lord's intent. And so if I'm going to go the next step, the next ream on the ladder leading to God's destiny in this nation, I have to understand first off, this is one nation under God. Whether the nation chooses to accept it or not is regardless of the point. He was written in, he was given the door. It was through the basis of liberty and justice for all. And that has to be the prevailing guiding principle in all that we do. Tyranny will not sustain. Oppression will not sustain, because ultimately God will overturn that and bring about his plan in the midst of that nation. And so God isn't finished with us. He's never finished with us. He's got a plan, and we've not even touched near what his plan is. And so in this closing series, as I close out this series, I want to call to our attention the understanding of what God has done and what God is doing, so that we can do our part in building along with the Lord. Know that as you out there under the sound of my voice, and whatever you do, that you fight for racial peace, racial unity, that you will build with God and allow God to continue to bless this nation. And as I said on the onset of this broadcast, you know, a lot of times the Bible says that God is the gardener, and that when something bears fruit, he always prunes it that it might bear more fruit. And so what we are experiencing in these days, in these recent days, is simply another pruning, because the Lord has brought this nation a mighty long way with regard to racism. We can't even compare ourselves to where we are now from where we were once upon a time. And for those who haven't lived long enough, they believe that racism has never been as bad, but they haven't lived long enough to appreciate this. That's not even close to the truth. That there's been a greater sense of racial unity than ever before in the history of this nation. And the Lord sees that, and he wants to take it further. That's not to ignore the state of affairs as they are. It's not to ignore the portion, the part of the racism that yet dwells in the hearts of men that the Lord is after. That doesn't ignore that. But let's put it in its proper context, okay? That as bad as it seems now, many of us have seen it a whole lot worse. And so let's look at it with respect to that and understand that as we begin to point each other in stereotypical fashion and pointing out our stereotypes, that we are actually throwing logs on the fire of division. And there will be no peace, okay? There will be no peace. There will be no justice. There will be no peace. And so understand that as you come against your brother, as you come against others in whom the Lord has sent to this great melting pot, you will do so at the expense of yourself, of your own family, of your own dignity. And as you rob another of his dignity, so you rob yourself. And so, you know, the Lord is calling us to go the next step together, to go hand in hand. And let's come to the table now, the table of brotherhood, in full recognition of our strengths and our weaknesses. Some of the groups out there and some of the ethnicities and that you come together and begin to boost yourself up, begin to encourage yourself and remove from yourself the animosity, as it were, because it's difficult to build together if the room is filled with animosity, if the room is filled with hatred and anger. For if, as we begin to pick out our leaders must be free of that if we're going to go the next step forward. I appreciate Martin Luther King Jr.'s approach, and when he used peaceful resistance and he did those marches. There's a way of doing that without necessarily having to march. I don't know if the climate lends itself to the need for that as much as it did once upon a time. But we can, when the police stop us, we can set aside our animosity and our racism and begin to speak to the officer as if he were a man. And we might be surprised if they reciprocate. And the same true with you, Mr. Police Officer. When you go into the African-American community, attempt to talk to them like men. And it may be that you may get a response. But if you go in there with a chip on your shoulder, and African-American young men, if he comes in and you have a chip on your shoulder, it's going to perpetuate a problem that's becoming powerfully and potentially disastrous on every level. And so let's recognize that the Lord, in fact, has his pruning shears out. And let's begin to look at what's happening around us through the eyes of the spiritual. Let's begin to recognize that God is working in this, that he is, in fact, exposing the tentacles of racism, yet unsevered. And let's give the Lord that liberty and that sovereignty. Let's give the Lord his place in doing that by first off recognizing what he is, in fact, doing. And so let's begin to pray together for togetherness in this great nation. Let's begin to pray and begin to trust, and let's not be so quick to rush off the war. Right now, there's an atmosphere mounting with the police department and the African-American community where the African-Americans have begun to embolden themselves to begin taking pot shots at police officers. And, of course, the police officers are going to be forced to be more on guard and more sensitive and maybe even too tense. And it's going to play to an atmosphere that's already deteriorating between the African American community and today's cop, and we want to try to squelch that. I would call upon those African Americans under the sound of my voice to put away your weapons and begin to show respect. Begin to show respect, peace through strength. And that peace through strength does not mean we have to arm ourselves, but it does mean I like the way Martin Luther King Jr. did it, through nonviolent resistance. And let's start off by recognizing the problem and knowing what it's going to take to add to it and appreciating what it's going to take away from it. Now, I know some of you African-American young men out there, you're in the street and the economy is bad and you've come from a hard place, and some of you feel like that selling drugs and maybe your only way of supporting your family and such, which makes you the enemy or the natural enemy of the police officer. And maybe some of you are living out in the street and living the street life, and so that you regard the cops as your natural enemy. I would ask that you look beyond yourselves and become concerned about your people, knowing that your actions will directly affect the relationship, not just between you and today's cops, but the cops and your people, and to recognize that. And police officers, when you go up to an African American and he's obviously scared, and use just enough force to get the job done. It's all that's needed. Moderation is key. Sometimes moderation is key, and not overreacting ourselves. You know that when you do overreact, to the person that's even acting ugly, that is going to reflect poorly upon you and upon the police department and upon the possibility of peace between the African-American community and today's police department. So this person, this African-American, if he does seem to be disrespectful to you, know that if you react to that, that you would do so at the expense of more than you can know. And the same is true with you, African American. If he's acting crazy, you can tape him and you can post the tape, but you acquit yourself wisely. And don't be disrespectful. I know sometimes I've been seeing some of these video clips showing some of the youth or young men handling police officers who've stopped them and checking on them, and they won't get out of their car, and suggesting that you roll the window partway and all that. But to what kind of an atmosphere does that play to? Are there police officers that are dishonest and planting evidence and such? Yes, that is true. But that's not prevailing. And most of the time, they've had their eye on the person. Now, if someone's had their eye on you and you're aware of that, that might be something else differently. But as a random stop, when the police officers are trying to do their job to keep people safe, I think that take it in consideration, because that too is stirring up something unnecessary, and that is playing towards and adding yet another log to the fire of the very issue with we're speaking. And so, in closing of this series, I want to say, A, that first off, recognize that God is doing something, and that God is in control, and that he, in fact, has out his pruning shears for the sake of bearing more fruit with regard to race relations in this country. Okay. And secondly, let's show a mutual respect one with the other. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the president or a pauper. No one likes to be disrespected. And so recognize that on both sides of the fence, whether it be police officer or whether it be African American, recognize that no one abides well with being disrespected, and that there's going to be a reaction. And for those of you out there in the street who depend upon the street for your livelihood, if you do decide to react to the cops, know that you do so not just at your expense, but you do so at the expense of continued deteriorating relationship between cops today and the African American community. It won't serve you. As a matter of fact, children may be shot down as a result, because what we do is African America, we develop within ourselves a reputation that is following us. Now, by the same token, today's cop also has developed within himself a reputation. And it was done brick by brick. But we need to remove this brick by brick by beginning with a little mutual respect and understanding that God is doing something, that his pruning shears are out, and that he doesn't intend to hurt but to help. He doesn't intend to curse but to bless. And so whatever is going on right now, understand that God is bringing it to the light for the sake of bearing more fruit. And let's not run from his shears, but let's face them together. And let's begin to recognize the differences in our cultures, in our ethnicities, in our races. Let's begin to recognize him and no more look upon our weaknesses with disdain, but to understand that that's where we join together. Because one race's strengths may overlap someone else's weaknesses, and the reverse is true. And it's up to God to put all the races together in this great melting pot so that he could build what he intended when he first had in mind to create this nation. There was something that he was building and that he's not done yet. And so let's do our part, and especially those of you in the body of Christ. Most of the time, change happens within the church walls, within the church relationships. Well, let's begin even now. As some of you who have white brothers in a mostly African-American church, and others of you have more white members than you do, and maybe a minority of African-American members in your church, reach out to them there, okay? Reach out. Be the first one. Be the follower of Christ. Lead the way with your example. If you are predominantly black church, reach out to that white American and begin to try to connect with him. If you are predominantly white church, reach out to that African American, because change is going to first begin within the walls of the church, within the context of the body of Christ. And so let God affect his change. Keep your head down, show each other mutual respect, and begin to pray for peace in this nation. Begin to trust God and join together in prayer, in believing that God is going to bring about the healings that he's determined. We want to see God heal. I don't know about you, but I don't want this to go in the direction that it's shaping up into going into you, because no good can come of it. And as a matter of fact, the only thing that could come out of it is bloodshed. And right now, police officers are the most vulnerable they've ever been. African Americans are now emboldened to start taking pot shots at cops. And we don't want this to develop for each side to become more and more tense, more and more untrusting, and then react to situations instead of responding, oh, that's the last thing we need. But if we're wound up tight on both sides, then there's going to be a whole lot more reaction. And the more reaction, the more blood will be spilled. And we want to avoid that. Neither side wants that. And so let's begin with where we are. You know, I can't control the whole, but I can control my own actions. And I can begin, like Michael said, it begins with the man in the mirror. I'm going to begin with me. And I'm going to begin reaching out to white America. And white Americans, you begin reaching out to the black Americans within your sphere of influence, within your sphere of relationship, and begin to do your part in closing the gap. And the Bible says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What that means is when you put a little bit of something positive in it, it works its way through the whole situation. And we want to leaven the atmosphere of racism right now with righteousness. Oh, come on, somebody. We want to leaven it. And let's do it together. Let's leaven racism with righteousness. Let's leaven it. Let's come together, joining together, knowing that God is going to work in all, within all, and have his way, that we might grow up into our creed, that America might grow up into her ideals. And it's going to begin with you and me. Are you ready? I'm ready. Then join with me in a prayer right now. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, forgive us all right now for any residual racism that may yet abide even deep within our hearts. We ask you to excise it, Father, that we may come together, this great melting pot, that we might come together in the vision and the plan that you preordained. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Well, our time has gotten past us. But until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis Green wishing you a great afternoon, and God bless.